You, librarians, teachers, parents, and I share a great community of interests, children, and books. None of us can ignore the fact that our time is hostile to children and that our culture stifles literacy. Our children watch more hours of TV before they enter the first grade than the number required to get a Bachelor of Arts degree in college. This assault on their sensations interferes with their spontaneous play with words, ideas, and images. They are turned into consumers of whatever is offered them. It becomes increasingly difficult for them to use their own faculties, and use of self is the first requirement for learning how to read. The picture book is now pitted against the lavishness of motion, color, sound, and imagery of the television set. But the picture book's aesthetic economy is much more valuable for the child. It makes the demand that he fill in the void between the peaks represented by successive spreads. He is required to contribute his experience and imagination. Conrad Lorenz points out that a society can develop a fatal culture just as some species develop fatal mutations. I fear that we may be in the process of doing just that. In depersonalizing our active, verbal, and literary lore, we are creating a culture that inhibits responsiveness. It is a trend as unhealthy for children as the destruction of our environment. Deprive a child of love, and he will reach for affection or clamor for attention at the expense of all other aspirations. Deprive him of fantasy, and he will try to make up for that deficit. But children who are not spoken to by live and responsive adults will not learn to speak properly. Children who are not answered will stop asking questions, and they will become incurious. Children who are not told stories and who are not read to will have few reasons for wanting to learn to read. The book is a natural extension of the storyteller. It takes the place of folk memory, and the picture book especially is a bridge from speech to literacy. It allows adults to whet a young child's appetites for finding out about a world that is beyond his experience. My interest in African folk tales stems in large part from the role they play in the education of children. The African storyteller, like the live reader of children's books, invites questions and answers them. He adapts his tales to the understanding and experience of his audience. He repeats or explains what is difficult. He is an imitable example. He is marvelously well-informed, and he has a prodigious memory. He recalls heroic deeds of whole dynasties of chiefs back through 3 or more centuries. He is the keeper of the tribe's traditions, conscience, and identity. He is the poser of riddles and conundrums. He is the spontaneous teacher of the young. He chronicles the exploits of his contemporaries and adds these to the stories memorized by his successor. He plays with the sound of language, and he weaves witticism, sly barbs, and criticism of tribal members and chiefs into the fabric of the classic stories he tells. No two renditions of the same tale are ever alike. Each evokes a new contribution from the audience. The folk tale and the modern children's book are very closely related. The picture book, like the folk tale, requires interpretation. Both depend on the reader's ability to adapt a story to the child's experience and on his ability to use his voice for additional emphasis. This point was dramatized to me when Weston Woods recorded A Story, A Story, narrated by Dr. John Akar, ambassador to the United States from Sierra Leone. I had heard these same words in my mind's ear when I wrote them. I had read them many times to children. But Dr. Akar's delightful rendition made my story new, even to me. It was like hearing a familiar song played on an unfamiliar instrument. This can and should happen with every rereading of a children's story. The leisurely dreams of childhood, stimulated by stories and by picture books, are not mere pastimes for children. Anthropomorphic fantasies are essential to a child's development. Young children expect human and humane responses from everything with which they come into contact, and they must be able to respond in kind. Children live in a world in which they are so small, the smallest in the family. Most of their choices are made for them, what they will eat and wear, and when they have to go to bed. Their earliest independence is gained only in fantasies. At first, these may be merely rebellious, but the child's dreams allow him to come to terms with the necessary limitations on his freedom and impulses. They help him learn to cope. Sheer resistance to authority is eventually replaced by idealized heroic yearnings, and these allow him to try out who and what he would like to become in adulthood. No one who learned to enjoy a rich, imaginative life in childhood need ever lose this faculty. As children mature, their dreams are converted into ideals and into goals. Such a child stands a good chance to turn longings into reality, at least in part. The exercise of a child's fantasies give him foresight and help prepare him for a fearless and hopeful future. Telling stories and illustrating them is my invitation to children to join me in a world of fantasy I envision and to elaborate on what I present to them. More than a personal catharsis, I see my work as an attempt to stimulate verbal and visual responses from children, and as a preparation for literacy. My books are for children. They are also a frame of reference for the reader, who should dramatize, explain, and discuss the words I use, the pictures I draw, and the ideas I express. My object is to involve adult and child. Both are my collaborators. My aim is not to manipulate children, but to encourage them to be active, imaginative, whimsical, and curious. These, more than fact-gathering or rote memorization, foster species-specific appetites that are essential to human survival. Chief among them is the hunger to learn to read. I am happy to have had this chance to share my thoughts and concerns with you, and to give you insights into what moves me to write and illustrate children's books. It is an all-consuming occupation, and I often feel isolated when the threats to a joyous and loving future for our children overwhelm me. I sense and share your passionate concern for children and for children's books. I feel like Ray Bradbury's protagonist in Fahrenheit 451 that I have discovered my tribe of like-minded survivors, each dedicated to keeping alive and nurturing not just one author or book, but the very idea of literacy.